The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
Would you take your copy of the Word of God, and I want you to open it with me to Psalm 1, if you will. Over the last few months, I studied my way again through all 150 of the Psalms. As a matter of fact, on our daily podcast, we took one a day and just spotlighted them, and it did my own soul good. I fell in love with them all over again. You know, the Bible's an amazing book because you never exhaust infinite truth. So you go back to the same well, the same mind, over and over and over again, and there's always something fresh. It's not new because it's eternal, but it is fresh. And recently, I came back to Psalm 1 again, and God used it to encourage me in a big way. These are not old songs. Somebody says, I don't like old songs. These are not old songs. This is eternal truth, and God's truth endureth through all generations. You might live in a different generation from David and those other men that were used of the Spirit of God to write these Psalms, but I want you to know they're personal and they're practical and they meet the deepest needs of your life. In fact, the Psalms helps you to take every emotion, every experience, and every event in life and usher it into the presence of God. I love that. So no matter who you are, or what you're dealing with today, what's on your mind at this moment, what's going on in a relationship, here's what you do. You take that by the hand and you lead it into God's presence. That's what the Psalms does. It leads you to worship. And the amazing thing is, when you bring things into God's presence, everything looks different. Psalm 1, some people believe, was one of the last Psalms to be written. That's fascinating. Because strategically, it is placed at the beginning of the book. It is God's entry point for us. And I might say, it's not just the beginning of the Psalms. No, no. It is the beginning of the blessing. Look at Psalm 1 and verse 1. In fact, read the first word of the Psalms out loud with me. Ready? Here we go. Blessed. Say it again, would you please? Blessed. Now, we're going to go further today and tomorrow, but let's pause with the word for just a moment. Because one word from the Word of God could change your life. The very first word to me is powerful because it is a revelation of who our God is, the Creator God of the universe, the Savior of those who will believe, and the Judge of all the earth is first and foremost the God of blessing. If you follow the law of first mention and go all the way back to the book of Genesis, to the book of beginnings, right on the very first page of the Bible in Genesis chapter number 1, when God spoke the world into existence and God created the world, He says to every living thing that He makes, every moving thing, now I want you to be blessed, and I want you to be fruitful, and I want you to multiply. And then He makes Adam and Eve. The only thing God ever made with His hands in Genesis was man. He spoke everything else into existence. We preachers get pretty creative, you know. We say, carved out the rivers with His fingers, and He flung the stars into space. Actually, He didn't do that. He just spoke. He said, light, and there was light, and it was very good. That's the power of the Word of God. But when it came to man, He made him out of the dust of the ground. It's a picture that from the beginning, God wanted your life to be in His hands. And the moment He made man and woman, male and female, the Bible says in Genesis 1, He blessed them. I love that. From the very beginning of the world, God's intent was to bless man. And here comes Jesus. Look at Him. Here comes Jesus. Beginning His earthly ministry, in Matthew chapter number 5, He preaches the first recorded sermon of His ministry. It's famous. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. And what was the first word out of His mouth? The first word out of His mouth was blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And then blessed are the meek. And blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And 9 times He taught how to be blessed people. The God of the Bible is the God of blessing. What about the end of His ministry, the ascension? The last time the disciples ever saw Jesus, do you know how they saw Him? Read Luke 24. The last time they ever saw Him when He went up in the clouds, the Bible says His hands were raised in blessing. That's quite a picture. Get it in your mind. Nail-pierced hands raised in the sky, blessing the disciples. Could I suggest to you today that at this moment, Jesus' hands are still raised in blessing? But at this moment, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for you. Robert Murray McShane, who died in his 20s, said, if I could hear Jesus praying for me in the next room, I would not fear 1,000 enemies. Then he stopped and said, but the distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. Can I tell you something? You got people back home praying for you? Good. You got people here praying for you? Wonderful. But friend, if nobody else on earth called your name to God today, I want you to know Jesus is praying for you at this moment. He is praying God's blessing on your life. When you come to the last book of the Bible, the revelation of Jesus Christ, what do you find? More blessing. Revelation 1 verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. And then come all the way to the edge, I mean to the edge of eternity, to Revelation 22, and the last page of the Bible, God pronounces two more blessings. Sounds to me like God wants to bless his people. So the question is how? Look at our verse again, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. That's powerful. It's individual. Somebody said, God's blessed our college, or God's blessed our church, or God's blessed our family. Would you hear me with your heart for just a moment? When God blesses, he always begins with the individual. It may affect others. It may bless others. God, through you, may be a blessing to others. But listen to me. You don't just live in the overflow of somebody else's blessing. God wants to bless your life. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But, do you see the great contrast here between verse 1 and verse 2? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In other words, God says, here's the way to blessing. You know, we live in a shortcut society. An Instagram world, a drive-through mentality. Everybody wants the product without the process. 30 years from now, I'll tell you what you want. You want to be blessed. Here's the problem. Everybody that wants the blessing 30 years from now is not always willing to put into their life right now what is necessary to have that blessing. And I wonder, are you willing to pay the price? I'm not talking about paying the school bill. I'm not talking about just making your studies. I'm not talking about getting the grade and graduating. I'm talking about, are you willing to pay the price with God in his word, so that you can have the blessing of the Lord upon your life? Did you know George Washington had Psalm 1 read at his first inauguration? He insisted on it. The very first time the first president of the United States took the oath of office, he did not just take an oath on a Bible. They read the Bible. They read Psalm 1. Do you know why that was? Because George Washington understood that if God didn't bless him and God didn't bless the nation, there would be no blessing. I say to you, there is no shortcut to the blessing and there is no substitute for the blessing. Your education will not substitute for the blessing of God. I came through college and seminary and worked hard at it, and I'm still studying and working. And I've been involved in Christian education for a long time, but I want you to know that having a head full of facts and a page full of notes will not substitute for a heart filled with the power of Almighty God. Nothing substitutes for the blessing. Your friends cannot substitute. Your talent cannot substitute. Your charisma and personality cannot substitute. All of that will run out someday. Everything you lean on that is not the Lord eventually will fail you. But I want you to know the one thing that is the greatest thing in the world is the blessing of Almighty God upon your life. And I wonder, do you want it? I'm not naive enough to think everybody listening to me right now even wants it. Let's just get real for a moment. Somewhere in this great auditorium, there's a young man that hungers in his heart. There's a young woman this moment thirsty after God. Somewhere, I don't know who you are, but God does. There's a young person that says, oh, I want that for my life. I want all that God has for me. I don't want to miss it. Well, then let me show you the beginning of the blessing. Would you write them down somewhere? There are three little thoughts. They come from the opening two verses. Number one, I want you to write down that the blessing, first of all, begins with a division. That doesn't sound right, does it? Somebody says, division? I thought God blessed unity. He does, when it's unity with him. Acts 1 is evidence of that. Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. There is a great blessing to unity with God and God's people, but that's not the division I'm talking about. Look back at Psalm 1 for just a moment. He begins with a negative. I'll show you why in just a moment. He says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Here is a divine division, if I may say it that way. See, the same God who adds to your life and multiplies good things, sometimes subtracts things and divides things. God says, here's a division that already exists, and you need to recognize it. There's a world of difference between a righteous man and a wicked man. Oh, you can't see it on the outside, but God sees it. You could all dress the same today, but God knows the heart. You could all do outwardly the same things, but God knows what's on the inside. Now, he's going to draw a great division between those who delight in God and those who scorn the righteous. You're going to be either a delighter or a scorner. He draws a division between a fruit-bearing tree later in the psalm, we'll look at it tomorrow, and the chaff that the wind drives away, a full life and an empty life, a fruitful life and a withering life. You've got to pick one. You can't have it both ways. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You must choose your path. And when you choose, choose very carefully. There is a difference between the blessed life and the cursed life. If I took a survey today and said, how many of you want the blessing? Well, everybody would raise their hand. But I wonder today, are you at this moment in the path of God's blessing? Because that's the picture here. You remove your foot from one path and you put your foot in another path. You get up out of one seat and you sit down in a different seat. You depart from one life and you choose another life. The blessing begins with division. I've been meditating on this passage this week. Not just for you, for me. And I had to ask myself, a positive book like Psalms, it's very positive. I mean, outside the imprecatory Psalms that pray against the enemies, we like to pray those sometimes, don't we? But outside of those, it's a very positive book, and I never pondered this before. He begins with a positive word, blessed, but the first verse of the Psalms is pretty negative. Thou shalt not. Why would God begin a positive book on a negative note? And the answer to that question is, it's really just the negative side of the positive life. Watch this, please. Do you know why God starts with a thou shalt not? Because the one thing that will rob you of the blessing of God is sin. The one thing that will keep you from God's best for your life is not somebody else. It's you. Somebody say, well, I thought that verse is all about the ungodly and the sinners and the scornful. Oh, it is. But the point is this. They can only influence you if you allow them to influence you. Life is all about influence. Every one of us, every last one of us, is a product of the people we've allowed to influence us. At this moment, you're sitting in a place, you're choosing to let certain people influence you. I want you to know, the rest of your life, you'll be reaping the influence that's planted in your life at this moment. I am personally grateful to God for the people that God providentially has brought into my life to influence me. But I want you to know there are moments in life where you have to choose. Do you remember in Hebrews chapter number 11, the Bible talks about Moses, that Old Testament character. And the Bible says that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's a big deal. And then the Bible says in the next verse, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Watch this, please. There is a refusing and a choosing, and they always go together. God connects the no and the yes. Some of you think the Christian life is all about this long list of no's, things not to do, and you miss the whole point. You miss the whole point that Psalm 1 doesn't end in verse 1. It goes to verse number 2. That watch, please. If you'll learn the great yes in life to the Lord, God will help you take care of the no's. But if you learn to be wide open to the Lord's voice, you won't listen to all these other voices. We're living in a noisy world right now. And by the way, this doesn't help. And all the social media influencers of our world, the self-imposed, self-appointed authorities, I want you to know something. If you're not careful, you'll allow those people to influence your way of thinking instead of what God says in His Word. Might I say to you today that followers of Jesus Christ have no one to impress and only one person to please, and His name is Jesus Christ. Refuse to let this culture define your life and choose by the grace of Almighty God to let God's way be your way. Proverbs 18, verse number 1 says, through desire a man. What's your greatest desire? Through desire a man separateth himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. You know why some people never get to the wisdom? Because they don't want it. And some of them who want it don't want it bad enough to separate themselves from the things that they know that are folly. So stop kidding yourself. You don't want the right way if you're still listening to the people in verse number 1. All my life I've heard people define the word ungodly and the word sinners and the word scornful. And there is a distinction in those words, but let me just get to the bottom line. Could I just sum it up for you? Do you know what everybody in verse number 1 has in common? They are all speaking for themselves and not for God. Can I tell you the most dangerous person in your life is the person who wants to be God to you? Because the reality is, if you let anybody take the place that only Jesus should take, then you are listening, my friend, to someone who supposes to speak as God into your life, but they are not worthy of that place that only Jesus is worthy of. So you want the blessing? Number one, it begins with a division. Number two, look at verse number 2. But here's the other side. His delight is in the law of the Lord. I like this. Would you write down that the blessing not only begins with a division, but secondly, the blessing begins with delight. Here we get to the joyful side. You say, I sure am going to miss those people in verse number 1. No, you're not. You really think you're going to miss a bunch of scorners sitting around talking about everything they don't like? Not when you get to the blessed side, you're not. You're not going to even remember all of that. Why? There's great delight in the Word of God. Look, this is so practical. Look at verse number 2. Do you understand that the blessing of God on your life is directly connected to the Word of God in your life? I appreciate you having your Bible open right now. I'm fairly certain in the Bible classes they insist on it. I would suppose that most of you take some time to read God's Word each day, and that's all really good. But might I just say, if you're not careful at this juncture on your journey, this will become nothing more than a textbook and you'll miss it. I worked in a Christian college for a long, long time. You know what I discovered? I discovered both as a student and as a teacher and an administrator, I discovered that it was very easy in an environment like this to lose the delight. You're doing the duty, but you've lost the delight. I wonder, what is your attitude towards the Bible? Are you still hungry for it? Still excited about reading it every day? Still can't wait to find something God has for you today? Still thrilled to share with your friends something God taught you today? Remember back when you first got saved? You remember when you first surrendered your life to the Lord? How thrilling it was. It was all delight. If you're not careful, your delight will turn into drudgery. You better guard your heart. I was reading devotionally this morning, just my own reading, in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I saw the exact same principle and parallel in Psalm 1. It says in verse number 1, lay aside malice and envies and guile and hypocrisy and evil speakings. And in the very next verse it says, and like a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Do you know what that is? That's the New Testament parallel to Psalm 1, 1 and 2. Look, please, lay this aside, divide from these voices, and instead get hungry again for the word of God. Get in the Bible and let the Bible get in you again. So what's your agenda today, Brother Scott? Very simple, very simple. I'd like you to fall in love with your Bible again. Because here's what I know. When you begin to love the Scriptures again, you'll become to love the God of the Bible in a deeper, fuller way. Because the Bible is simply God's revelation of Himself. This is not a list of facts and figures. This is not just information. This is revelation. And I'm going to tell you what our world desperately needs right now. Our world needs a fresh glimpse of the greatness of the one true and living God. And how can we expect the world to get that glimpse if we have not recently had a fresh glimpse of our God? There's an appetite here for the Word. Are you hungry for the Bible? I love to eat. Let's take a survey. How many of you like to eat? Would you raise your hand? Man, I tour America by restaurant. I love it. You know what I discovered? The more you eat certain things, the more appetite you get for certain things. Watch this. The more of the Bible you get, the more you will delight in getting the Bible. Let me prove it to you. Hold your place. Everybody hold your place in Psalm 1. Turn over a few pages to Psalm 119. Quick, quick, quick. Go to Psalm 119. Longest psalm in the Bible. It's the psalm of the Scriptures. All but two verses deal with the Word of God. And look at Psalm 119, verse 14. If you're just muddling through today and you're miserable, let me give you the cure. Look at Psalm 119, verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will, mark this word, meditate. That's going to mean more to you in just a moment. We're coming back to that word. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. And look at verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. By the way, you see the word will. I want you to know what I'm talking to you about today is a matter of the will. People get this crazy notion that preachers like me just jump out of bed every morning, can't wait to read their Bible and pray. Can I tell you, nothing could be further from the truth? Look up here just a second. You know what this is? Flesh. And you can dress it up. You can let it have a Bible and let it preach. And it's still just dirty, rotten, sinful flesh. And you got to deal with it and fight against it every day of my life. But here's what I've discovered. God gave you something stronger than your emotions. He gave you a will for a reason. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is choose against yourself. And I've discovered that on the days that I least want to read the Bible, I most need to. And when I don't feel like reading the Bible and don't really delight in it, if I will get in the Word of God, eventually the most amazing thing happens. My emotions catch up with my will. And after a little while, being in the Word, God begins to restore the delight and the joy. God shows me something. I say, oh, Lord, I'm glad I didn't miss that today. Oh, Lord, thank you for that truth. I wonder, do you delight in anything more than you do the Word? As a minister, can I speak as a preacher for a second? Do you know one of the greatest dangers for me as a preacher is? To start getting more delight in the work of the Lord than the Word of the Lord. That's very dangerous. Very dangerous. Martin Lloyd-Jones told a group of preachers one day, he said, you men better be careful. You better learn to rejoice in something other than your own sermons. Because someday you may not even be able to preach those sermons. And I tell you that this is a delight that the world can't give you and the world can't take it away. It is not connected to how you perform or what you can produce or what you can do today. It is rooted in who God is and your own fellowship with our God. I wonder, are you hungry for the Lord that way? Jeremiah, we call him something. We use an adjective before the word prophet. We call him the what prophet? The weeping prophet. I used to have this idea in my mind that Jeremiah was the most miserable human that ever lived. That he literally just cried his way through life and he had nothing to be glad about. And then one day I actually read his book. I read the book of Jeremiah and I came to that beautiful expression where he said, thy words were found and I did eat them and thy word was unto me, ready? The joy and rejoicing of my heart. And it clicked. That no man could have lived under that burden and dealt with that brokenness and that difficult age in his nation if he had not discovered the secret of the joy of the Word of God. Some of you are dealing with tough things right now. Some of you are heartbroken over something going on at home. You're wondering what's going to happen to our country. You're concerned about your future. May I tell you what Nehemiah said? The joy of the Lord is going to have to be your strength. And the only way you're going to get that joy is if you learn to delight in the Word of God, because only it never changes. Everything in the world will change, but the Word of God is forever settled. They asked George Mueller, as an old man. They said, Mr. Mueller, you seem like a happy man. You had a hard life. You had to pray in millions of dollars, never asked for a penny, had all those thousands of orphans to take care of. How'd you keep your heart happy? Mueller said, that was easy. He said, I got up every morning, and he said, I got my heart happy in Jesus. They said, how'd you do that? He said, well, he said, I read the Word till God started to speak to me. And he said, when I found one of God's promises, he said, I put my Bible down on the floor, and I got down on my knees behind it, and I put my finger on the promise, and I looked up to heaven, and I said, God, you promised, and I'm claiming this one today. And George Mueller said there was never a single day that God didn't keep his word. And then they said George Mueller started to laugh and threw his head back. And he said, for the last 69 years, I've read through my Bible four times every year on my knees. And he said, for the last 69 years, I've been a happy man. Then he said, happy, happy, happy. Duck Dynasty didn't start happy, happy, happy. If you want to be a happy, happy, happy Christian, let me tell you how to do it. It's not an emotion. It's a choice. It's not coming to the perfect meeting and you hear some great sermon, pray the perfect prayer, and suddenly, boom, you're the Christian you're supposed to be. No, it is a daily walk with God. It is delighting in His Word. Can I just point something out before I give you the last one? This struck me this week. Did you notice these two words? God connects the word delight and the word law. That sounds strange to me. Anybody in this place just love being told what to do? And we all hate rules. Let's just get real for a moment. We hate to be told what to do. We don't like laws. We push them for all they're worth. We press the speed limit for all it's worth. We do what we can just to stay enough out of trouble, but we take it as far as we can because in our heart we're all rebels and we don't like law. And yet God says there's actually a way to learn to delight in the law. And I got to thinking, how do you delight in law? And then it dawned on me, the only way, the only person who can delight in a law is the person who knows the lawgiver and loves the lawgiver. See, when you understand that God's word is law, but it's a loving law and God wants the best for your life, listen to me, young man. Listen to me, young lady. God's not trying to take from you. He's trying to give you the greatest blessing. Then you've discovered the secret to the blessed life. Number one, the blessing begins with division. And then the blessing begins not only with division, but with this delight. And then let me show you a third, because this is where we live. You ready for it? Look at the end of verse number two. The Bible says, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. Would you write down that the blessing begins with a discipline? See, this is where we fail. We believe everything I've just said to you, and we even want it, but we're not willing to exert the daily discipline to have it. Tom Brady the other night, I was listening to an interview with him after he won another Super Bowl. And they were asking him, what's the secret of all this success? And what's the secret? And I just listened carefully to see what he would say. And he made a statement that just was fascinating to me. He said, good habits every day. That's a pretty good statement. Can I tell you what's missing in most of our lives? Good habits every day. So you get Bible in church, you get Bible at chapel, good, but what's your own good habit every day in the Word of God? Notice what the Bible says the discipline is to be. It is to be this thing called meditation. And when are we to do it? We're to do it day and night. Why would God say day and night? Oh, I love this. Day is when you're out and about with everybody and you're dealing with other people. Night is when you're all by yourself and there's nobody but you and God. Watch this. God's word will work in your life when everybody's around and when nobody's around if you'll put it in your life. But here's the word I want to zero in on. And everything I've said to you, I've said to bring you to this moment, so please get this. Oh, may God help you get this. How do you meditate? There's two Hebrew words for meditate. One means to muse. It's the idea of thinking. It's the opposite of being amused. It's getting your mind in gear. There's a good Bible word in the Psalms that illustrates it. It's called Selah. It means stop and think about that. That is not the word that's used here. The other Hebrew word that is used is a word that means to mutter. Like to talk under your breath. It's used all through Scripture in different ways, but it gives the idea of talking, of even humming. Sometimes it's used for moaning, for uttering something. It's a conversational word. It's a communication word. May I ask, how many of you ever talk to yourself? Would you raise your hand, please? Big and high, you ever talk to yourself? Good. And the rest of you just lying. We all do it. The truth of the matter is, all right, talk to yourself. Just be careful what you say to yourself. That's the word that is being used here. How are you going to get the Word of God in you? Is it going to be enough to read it? Reading is the starting point, but it can't be the stopping point. I meet people everywhere I go who say, preacher, I don't know what's wrong with me. I read my chapter in the Bible every day, and then I seem to live such a defeated Christian life. Watch, please. Reading is just the entry point. It's not the end. So we read to get a little nugget for the day. I hope that gets me through the day. That'd be like grabbing a snack in the morning and expecting it to give you enough energy all day long. It doesn't work that way. You've got to feed your inner man consistently. We memorize to pass the test. We listen to take notes. We study to get a lesson or to get a sermon together. But this is not that word. It's a deeper word than that. It is the word meditate. It connects it to our life. I'm going to tell you what God is teaching me. Meditation is not only connected to your mind, it is really more connected to your mouth. Did you know that whatever you talk about, you have to think about? Now, the opposite is true. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But watch, whatever you make yourself talk about, you make your mind click in gear about. You know what God is saying? God is saying, if you'll stop listening to all these other voices in verse number one, and you'll start talking the word of God in verse number two, then the blessing of God will come upon your life. Do you see the contrast between listening and talking here, between taking in and being influenced and instead giving out and letting the word of God be in your mouth? Let me prove it. Joshua 1:8. You know the verse. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy what? Mouth. But thou shalt meditate. God connects meditation to your mouth. Every day, you should be talking God's word to yourself, reminding yourself of it every day. Every day, you should be talking the word of God to other people. My wife, Tammy, she and I will be driving down the road, and I'll say, can I tell you something God's showing me right now? You know what I'm doing? It's not just for her. Oh, sure, I want to share it with her. But it's amazing. While I'm talking to her, God's opening it more and more to me. Some of you preachers, teachers, people who speak the word of God, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Do you know how many times while I'm preaching, God shows me something? Why is that? I mean, I've studied it already. I prepared the message already. I wrote it down already. But here I am standing in front of you and God's opening something to me. How's that happen? Watch. Because while I'm talking about it, I'm actually meditating on it more deeply. And as you talk it through, God shows you things. But watch, here's the ultimate talk. You don't just talk to yourself and others, you talk to God. See, you understand the book much better when you talk to the author. Can I tell you what I've learned? For me, this is, look, meditation is bigger than devotions. Some of you say, I have my devotions. That's not what I'm talking about. This was the most revolutionary thing that God gave me a few years ago that changed my daily walk with God. I stopped just reading the Bible and I started praying my way through the Bible. So I don't just read a chapter. Somebody says, how much Bible do you read a day? I stop measuring it that way. I read till I know God has spoken to me. I read till I know I'm talking to God and in His presence. Because the goal of the Word is to lead you to worship. It is not to know something. It is to know God. It is to fellowship with God. It'd be unnatural for me, Dr. Atkins, to have a conversation this way. I talk for an hour and then I say, okay, it's your turn. Ready, go. No, conversations are back and forth. So why do we do that to God? You don't separate the Bible and prayer. You let God talk to you, and then you talk to God about what God's talking to you about. You want to revitalize your devotional life? Stop reading the Bible and start praying through the Bible. Have a conversation with God about what God is already trying to have a conversation with you about, and you will have discovered the secret of meditation and the beginning of blessing. I'm going to tell you, we need a revival in this country. We need a Holy Ghost awakening. I'm reading a book right now on the great Welsh revival of 1904 that swept the globe. And a young man by the name of Evan Roberts who was mightily used of God in it. And I read something last night I had never read before. Did you know that a few months before the Welsh revival, Evan Roberts was in school? He was studying in his academics, but he felt his heart was getting dull. So you know what he did? He determined he was going to set aside 30 minutes every day for the Word of God in prayer. 30 minutes a day. He said, I don't want to get my education and let my heart end empty. Would every student look at me right now? What would happen if every student in this college said, I'm going to give God 30 minutes every day to talk to God and let God talk to me? I'll tell you what would happen. The beginning of blessing.
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.